Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the nature of God was recorded at our 2009 Raleigh-Durham Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
I had a man come to me one time, and he was criticizing Jamie over the way she dressed. And there was nothing wrong with the way she dressed. He was an ultra-Pentecostal that believed she shouldn't wear gold and makeup and jewelry and stuff like this. And he went to just criticizing her and reading the riot act. And I just stopped him right in the middle. And I said, "Who died and made you God?" And he said, "What are you saying?" And I said, "You know what? I just really don't care about what you think." And he was just shocked. Like, "You don't care about what I think? You should be... considering all of this." And I said, "You know what? God loves me. God loves Jamie. We're doing the best we can, and I just don't give a rip what you think." And he was just shocked by it. But you know what? You can get to a place where if God Almighty loves you, if Almighty God loves you so much that He died for you, why does it bother you if somebody else doesn't like you? It's only because you aren't focused on the love of God that those things bother you. And some of you are thinking, "Well, yes, that's true in minor ways." But if it's your husband that doesn't love you, if it's your wife that doesn't love you, well, then you just feel totally justified in being an emotional wreck. And you're praying and asking God to fix this. "You know what? I love my wife. Praise God, we got a good marriage. But you know what? She didn't die for me. She's not the one who saved me. And if Jamie didn't love me and if we had problems, I'd still revel in the fact that God loves me and I'd still make it." And some of you think, "Oh, that's all wrong." No, that's all right. John Wesley, who changed the world. John Wesley affected continents. He married a woman. In his day, you had to be married to minister. And he just went out and picked the first person, and he married the wrong person, and she was a witch. And she literally hated him. And we've been to his home in England where he would kneel and pray, and it's... you know, recorded when they give you the tour, they show you that she used to come in and spit on him and kick him and hit him and mock God and do this. And they didn't have a good relationship. I think they were separated for 13 years of their marriage, living in opposite ends of the house. But you know what? He just went on and changed the world because he knew God and loved God. Moses didn't have the best marriage. His wife left him. Circumcised her son and threw the foreskin at his feet and said, "You're a bloody husband," and went back to daddy and left him. And he just went down and delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt and did all of these miracles and saw the plagues and saw the Red Sea divided while he was separated from his wife. Am I saying that you should do that? No, but I'm saying that there's something bigger than just your marriage or just how your finances are going or how your health is going. If you know God, that trumps everything else. Knowing God is what it's all about. And most of us are more into trying to get some need met, and we don't care about our relationship with God. We aren't focused on the fact that He loved us. You know, if you were just to start being thankful and thanking Him and reminding yourself of how good it is. Don't think about what you'd like it to be. Just think about how bad it could be. Think about what would happen if God hadn't have saved you, if the Lord hadn't have come, if these things hadn't have happened. You ought to just be praising God for how good it is. And if you would do that, you'd find out that depression and things like that would be gone. I've ministered often in churches, and I've given invitations and asked people if you're fighting depression to stand. And out of a group this size, normally I would have 80 to 90% of Spirit-filled Christians stand because they've been fighting discouragement, depression. You know what that is? That's just an insult to Jesus. He's done all of these things for you, and yet you're still depressed and discouraged because you haven't gotten your third car yet. You haven't had your dream fulfilled. Man, we need to pull our thumbs out of our mouth and grow up. and just recognize that, you know what, I can do all things through Christ. It's about knowing the Lord. And God just wants us to know Him. It's all based on relationship. And we just need to get mature. We need to press into relationship with God. The early New Testament church didn't have bumper stickers. They didn't have radio and television. They didn't have the printed page. They didn't have any of the things that we use to communicate the gospel today, which if Jesus was here, I believe He'd use all of them. I'm not saying there's anything wrong, but they didn't have the advantages that we've got. And in 30 years, they changed the known world. They turned the world right side up. And they didn't have people going door to door knocking on doors. They didn't have tracts that they printed up. They just left tracts. People watched the way that they walked. You know, I remember going to Rome when I was 18 years old. And I remember hearing the stories about the Circus Maximus and the Colosseum when people were burned at the stakes. They literally sharpened stakes and rammed them up through people and impaled them. And then they burned them. Alive. And the Christians fought each other to get the honor of going out there and dying for the Lord. They literally would push and shove each other. I've got a book, I forgot the name of it right now, but I've been reading this and I'm up to about 300 AD. And there was this lady, I forget her name now, but around 300 AD, she was 9 months pregnant. And she was captured with some other Christians and they were going to kill her. But there was a Roman law that you couldn't kill a pregnant woman. And so they were going to hold her until she had her child and then kill her later. And she wouldn't have been able to die with all of the other Christians. And so her and the other Christians got together and prayed that she'd be able to deliver that baby. And she delivered it like 2 months or 2 weeks premature and went into labor immediately and had that child. And she called a friend and let the friend take the child, and she went out with the honor of dying with her friends, and they put her in a net and let bulls kill them, and I could go on and on, but it was terrible, it was grotesque, and these Christians would do anything for the honor of going out and dying for the Lord. They had such a relationship with the Lord. There's actually an account of Nero sticking his fingers in his ears and saying, "My God, why must these Christians sing as they die?" There are accounts of up to 7 Romans jumping out of the stands and running out into the Colosseum, knowing that they were going to instantly be burned at the stake or killed by the animals and stuff, because they saw so much joy and so much love in the people's lives as they worshiped their Creator, as they were being killed, that they wanted that, and they were willing to lay their life down to get it. You know, there's not a lot of people that would lay their life down to get what most of us have. I mean, our Christianity today is about a mile wide and an inch deep. And it's because we haven't developed our relationship. We haven't taken these things to heart. We haven't loved and appreciated God. We're more into, "Well, God, how come I'm still struggling to get my house payments met?" Well, it's probably because you don't have a good relationship with the Lord. And because you're probably out there indulging all of your flesh and buying things that you don't need and living the quote-unquote American dream hocked up to your ears and paying 20% interest on your credit card. You don't need more money. What you need is to be good stewards. Just live a lifestyle that's less than what you make. Don't ever use a credit card and you can solve your problem. But see, our focus is on all of these things instead of just knowing the Lord. And we get entangled with the affairs of this life. And the Scripture says, Colossians 3:5, that covetousness is idolatry. And we're worshiping money and what money can produce and all of these things instead of worshiping God. And that's the reason that we don't have more faith. Faith works by love. I'm telling you, it's really simple. If you just love the Lord with all of your heart, all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, you'll succeed. You'll see things work. It'll be awesome. Amen? Amen. I'm way off track where I was going, but that's good. And we need to just put God first. And this is what I've been talking about, is that God's done everything. He's provided everything. You've already got everything that you need. Everything that you need is already on the inside of you. You don't need to manipulate or beg God or get God to do something. If we would start enjoying what we have, I tell you what, it would just be awesome. It would be awesome. But I don't know, somehow we've got to where we magnify the negative. We focus on the things that we don't have. If you had 99 out of 100 things, most of us would be focused on that one thing that's still elusive. This is how Satan came at Adam and Eve. He said, "Has God said you can't eat of every tree of the garden?" He focused on the one thing in all of creation that he told them not to do. He focused on the one thing. They had everything. They could have done anything. They had all of these trees. You know, if Satan would have come to them like this and he says, "Are there only 9,999 trees that God lets you eat of? And there's this one that he won't let you eat of?" If he would have presented it that way, that would have diffused the whole temptation. Because it would have been speaking about, look how good God is. One tree out of 10,000 that you can't eat of. But instead, he didn't mention the good that God had done. He didn't talk about the thousands and the thousands of trees that they had access to. He says, "Is there this one thing that God hasn't let you do?" And brothers and sisters, the world is this way. And sad to say, the body of Christ is more influenced by the world than it is by the Word. And we have been focused on what we don't have. And some of you, and I'm saying this in love. I'm saying that I believe God motivated me to say this tonight, that we are focused on the things that we don't have instead of what we do have.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the nature of God. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Raleigh-Durham Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM236 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The fifth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the fifth teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Now, you won't be able to call us by telephone today because we've given our employees the day off due to the holiday. But remember, you can go to the website even on holidays, and you can order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Or you can write us at P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80934. We hope to hear from you today.
I know that many of you are relating to what I'm saying, that you're beginning to understand that the way our hearts are towards God is not the way that He intended it to be, that there needs to be a change. And many of you are just benefiting from this and see how that everybody needs to hear this. You know, I'm reaching as far with the gospel as I possibly can. Our media buyer just recently told us that we now reach 2.2 billion people, potential. But you know, of course, we need multiple broadcasts to be able to saturate those markets, and there's a lot of people that haven't yet heard these truths. I'm asking those of you who've been blessed by this program to help us financially to become a partner so that we can reach out and touch more people. Please call and become a partner today.
To all the partners of Andrew Womack Ministries, we say thank you for your faithful support. And we want to remind you that you share in the rich rewards of seeing lives transformed by the power of the good news.